Mr. Rose, reel 10.
At the allowance, and what you could do with the allowance was 9 pence a day you were allowed. That was victualling allowance. It was called victualling then. Now you were served out with this is apart from the 9 pence a day. You were served out with bread once a day, sugar, tea. Those are the things, and meat. All the other stuff you bought, you see. Invariably, a ship of any size carried a canteen, which was most invaluable. Well, the Birmingham, we had a wonderful canteen on there. And then there's another thing, the manager of the canteen, which was in private, in the old days, there were no NAFI, nothing like that. They were run by individual firms. We had Millers of Portsmouth. They ran very, very good canteens, and their men were excellent. What I mean is, when he got to a port, he went ashore and he bought a bulk of things that he knew that you wanted, see? And he was very, very good like that. Well, he used to buy additional things from the store, beans, peas, haricot beans, things like that. And that 9 pence a day is all taken from there, see? So at the end of the month, monthly they run the bills up. At the end of the month, you either owe the paymaster a certain sum of money, or else you get what they call a rebate. But invariably you owed him. So the caterer of the mess, you appointed a caterer in each mess. He knew how much it was owing to the caterers, and he got 14 or 16 men in the mess, so he just divided up, and then you paid in that amount, you see.
And you was...
And they worked very well, that system.
You were caterer yourself?
Yes, so I had two or three ships I had caterers on.
How did you try... What were you in for? How would you try and... work it out?
Well, you trial and error mainly. When, as I say, if you've got a canteen, you've got no problems. But if you hadn't got a canteen, well, then you've got problems. So what you used to say to probably on the ship, you going ashore tonight? And you say, yes, sir. Right, would you like to get so-and-so, if you can? See, a dozen, couple of dozen eggs or 2 or 3 pounds of sausage, something like that. And then the mess would pay for it. You put the account down, see, so at the end of the month, the mess bill, you may have paid 2 or 3 pounds, see.
What would you try and keep it down to per head at the end of the month?
Never made a fixed sum. Some messes were lived better than others. I always liked to, I used to tell our chaps, are you going to buy me caterer there? You've got to buy by what I want. And they always agreed, and... I used to aim for things. We used to make a cake of an afternoon. We used to buy the currants and sultana or whatever it was, peel and flour from the store. They opened the store, the paymaster, what they call the paymaster store, once a day. They call a repayment. And you can buy various things from the store. See. So very often we made a cake. I did, or some of the others, they're quite proficient at it. I don't say they were cakes that you would call elaborate, but they were just flour and things like that, which used to augment the food. We always used to see them mooch along very well. Another thing we had in there, I'd like to mention this. I had two different messes at the time. We had a swear box. Oh, I think I mentioned that to you, won't I? Their swear box was very, very good. It was a good idea, that was. We instituted this. We told all hands, anyone caught swearing, don't forget, he must be in the company of someone else as a witness. He will put the money in the box. And you'd be amazed. The amount that accumulates up, or probably we went to a month or 6 weeks. There was no set time. So they used to say, hey, you're going to open the swear box, Rosie, see how much we got. Invariably, we saved it up till we got a port. To a port and shared it out then. But it's amazing that some of the money that can go to that, as you used to say, it just shows you what villains we are. But we did have two brothers. They were Welsh boys. They came from a farm near Lenethi. And they're quite nice boys. They were twins. They were inseparable, really. and they didn't swear. They were really church chapel goers. But every day, religiously, those boys used to put something in the box. So we all shared Ed alike. Every day, they were good boys, they were. Williams, her name was. Just like that. So you can see he's got little morals in the rest of it.
And apart from these types of things, I mean, would there be any problems in mess living, close quarter living like that? Would you get any...
Some messes didn't agree with what the caterer thought or did or that, but I don't know, I must have been lucky, I think.
What about other tensions that you could get? Because you were living very close.
Yes.
Tell me about these.
Well, funnily enough, I'd never seen a quarrel. Never seen a fight, and we put it that way, on domestic, in all the ships I've had.
But tensions could be
I've heard quarrels, but mainly over stupid things, you know. People be getting this and that, but other than that, which you would think that tension would be built up of being so closely closeted together. But, no, I found that sailors, on the whole, were jolly good people to get on with. They were human. And they were always ready to help someone else. For instance, a person that died or was killed. I was telling the wife the other day about a chap, Dickens of a nice chap he was, in the North Sea there during the war, about 1916, early 1916. We were off Heligoland patrol, and it was a beautiful clear day, the water was like a mill pond, and everyone was at the after lunch, everyone was at their usual prone position, you know, that could be fast asleep. And this chappie, he had a habit of doing it, I don't know why, but sitting on the rail that ran round the ship, and he used to sit there for a while, say for hours, but he used to sit there and I don't know what he's thinking or what. But this day, they only surmised this happened, see, and no one saw it. He was seen sitting there, and the ship, either spotted a submarine, or what they thought was a submarine, swung hard starboard there, the ship went over on one side, and away went the chappie there, never lost, never seen a sign of him. Went back and searched all round, but no signs of him at all. Now, when they sold his effects, I mean, they resold the things, was bought, you know, and thrown back in again. Well, they got it back up. They got quite a goodly sum, I think, for the parents of this boy. Just like that. But I always found that sailors did that. They were always ready to help one another in difficulties, times of stress.
Didn't ask about this before, but how much of a problem, how much of an issue was homosexuality on Navy ships?
Well, I think you get that in any ship, but I don't think I met much of that kind of thing. If it did, I went about my eyes shut anyway. But I think you get that more or less with a body of men. I can't imagine that the Navy, I believe it dates back to Nelson's days when it was first discovered, but... Other than that, I mean, you're bound to get it, but as I say, I never met that kind of thing.
And many of the men had their own hobbies and interests.
Yes, especially during the wartime. Mm-hmm. Yes, that was a renowned thing to have an hobby of some description. Mainly mat making. That's the problem. The mat making, I'd like just in passing... They use the glass gauges that go in the boiler. They're tubular gauges, that's right, about that long. Yeah. And they made ideal, when they were sewing the wool over and over and over till you've got the end, and then you can cut these so they open it. And I'll talk in the Birmingham. I think we must have requisitioned for more glass... what do we call them now? Glass tubes, yeah.
Gauge
glass tubes. More than any other ship in the fleet, I think. That was mainly due to this pastime of mat making. But there was others there, wood carving and some quite remunerative jobs too, some of them did.
Some men would actually have little companies and do laundry for others and... sewing uniforms and making up.
Yes, you had a ship's tailor. He was very, very good on the Birmingham, excellent tailor he was. Only an ordinary lean seaman, but he was an excellent tailor. Another thing was knitting. Some of those sailors there was just as fat, and even more so than the women. Terrifically on it. Crocheting, I could never, my fingers would never work to that extent. But as regards the what we spoke about in the early stages there, about remunerative jobs, some made things, you know, and sold them, and some gave them away. I think there was various things went to Birmingham there, to the when they went to the museum, it's reputed to have gone. But it was one of those things that I think the authorities advocated, because there was nothing worse than boredom, especially waiting for the years there, waiting for the German fleet to appear. Until Jutland, it was really, the patrols were very boring.
Hard work and boring?
Was, yes. Yes. It was the same old repetitive thing all over again. You went to sea, you see a week there, and back again, coal ship, take in stores, a couple of days in, and we had a film show they used to give us. Loan films around the ship, from different ships. There was a ship's library, ship carrying library books, you know, that you could borrow from that. That was another good thing.
What about gambling? Was it a bit of gambling when
I thought? No, not a lot of gambling. The only ship I think I ever saw that was the, what was her name? Edna Dardanelles. Yeah. That was extraordinary, that one. That was a real Monte Carlo on wheel on the sea, this one was. Everyone. Well, she laid there for so long. They got nothing to do. She's an old battleship. Agamemnon, that was her name. I went to her when I went out to the Mediterranean to wait for my destroyer to come in. And that's when I saw it. I couldn't believe my own eyes. I never saw anything like it. After lunch, down they went. They see my afternoon off every afternoon, I think. Whether it was a done thing or not, I don't know. But everyone used to be crane and anchor mainly. Crane and anchor or various other card games, you know.
And the Navy doesn't usually like gambling, and especially kind of...
No gambling at all. The only thing they allowed was, what they call bingo now.
Housie.
That was the only thing they allowed, but you had to put in for that.
And in the Agamemnon, she was a very special case.
The old battleship.
And nobody, the officers must have known it was going on, didn't they?
Of course, I must have done. I mean, you couldn't be off of it. Yeah. Even though the various police officers there, they all knew all about this.
Did they turn a blind eye to it all?
It seemed like it. No one ever came over, never raided my down there, and apparently, according to others, there was aboard there, the ship's crew, that they've been like a rages. But it was mainly Crane and Anchor. Fabulous songs they were putting on there. I've never seen one.
But this was highly unusual in your experience.
I never met it before. I've seen it in... the Fizz Guard, I think, in Portsmouth Harbour. The RA's training ship. And I was on the steamboat on that. And they used to have a Crane and Anchor, what name? But I think the authorities turned a blind eye to them.
Going on to change the subject a wee bit, Phil. You said that relations between the deck, sailors on deck, and the seamen, and the firemen, the stokers, there's a bit of rivalry, but basically they were quite good.
In sport they were. That's the only rivalry. In sport. In gunnery, what they call practice gunnery, loader drill, that was the name. Loader drill. We had rivalry in that, and funnily enough, whether extra strength or not, invariably we beat them. boat pulling, see, well, now they were always at it, but as I say, with their extra strength, that we invariably beat them at that. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And what else? Football? No, I don't think we were excelled in football. I think we were a bit slow and lumbering for football. I don't know, I played football for the Stokers team. I don't ever remember winning a match. But cricket, no. But the officers had what they call golf. In the early stages of securing the golf ball to elastic, and they used to play golf. I think they lost more over the side than they ever, I mean, but things like that. But cricket, I never remember cricket, not on the ship. The only time I met cricket was out in Malta. I went out to, told you I waited on the Agamemnon for a destroyer to come in and went to her, and we eventually finished up in Malta, and the chief came one day, he said, "You play cricket?" I said, "Well, I have played quite a bit." He said, "All right, you're in the side today. This afternoon we're playing somewhere over there, I don't know who it was, another ship." And when we arrived up at the cricket pitch, it's a blank bit of ground with the old,
stumps.
What do you call it, for walking on the carpet, not carpet, the coconut matting. Played on coconut matting. Well, if you've ever played on coconut matting, you're next. I stepped up there just like W.G. Grace.